since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Welcome once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world, and I need to turn those mics down just a little bit. There we go. We're sounding better now.
You sounded like...
I sounded big.
Yeah, you did. You sounded big. I was like, in a world with, you know,
I was
whatever.
Doing my LaFontaine.
Yes, there you go.
Don LaFontaine, if you ever heard a movie trailer during the 1980s.
Chances
and 90s,
are he did the voiceover.
Chances are
it.
He did that voiceover. He passed away in the early 2000s, but he was in a world where apocalypse has hit. You know, he had that deep, booming.
His cadence, though, it was really, you know, it sucked you in as what trailers are supposed to do. They're supposed to hook you in the first 30 seconds.
Exactly. And his job, I mean, talk about a cool job. He would get in his limousine. He would read the script on the way to the job, get out of the limousine, go into the recording studio, because each movie studio had their own setup. Sit down in front of a specified microphone that was essentially one he worked best with. It was basically what's called a shotgun mic. He put on his own, plug in his headphones, and he would go to town, usually nailing it in one or two takes.
That's how good he was.
Yeah. So, look it up. Don LaFontaine. He was the voiceover guy.
The new one they have, at least the one you hear quite frequently now, sounds sort of like an understudy.
Yeah.
But
I know his name, but
doesn't quite have the same depth as that. But it's very perfectly okay.
Yeah, Don was a little guy, and he just had this booming voice. Even richer than, say, now the name escapes my head, Deadliest Catch, Ford Trucks. Now I've done it to you.
You did it to me.
Opera singer.
Yes, I know. Dirty Jobs.
You'll come up with it in just a moment.
Man. It's right on the edge of my brain. You know when it's just about ready to spill out into cognizance.
Is this an aging thing?
Sadly, I believe it is. Mike Rowe. There
Thank
we go.
No, it's not early onset. This is the show with goodies and gadgets and gizmos and tech news you can use. Don LaFontaine, I'm not. but we do like to bring you stories that we find interesting.
That phrase would not do well in the Don LaFontaine style. You know, Boomer Tech Radio, the news you can use. You know, tech news you can use. No, that doesn't even work.
If it has a connector, if it has wires, if it has anything to do with technology and how it impacts us every day, this is your show. We ask you to check us out on BoomerTechRadio.com. Download the podcast. If you are into podcasting, you can, of course, subscribe through Stitcher, iTunes, or the Google Play Store. We've also been known to show up on TuneIn Radio time to time through no effort of our own.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that happened.
Anyway, we bring you stories that we personally find interesting, and people so far in the 10 years, almost 10 years that we have been doing this program, have said that they found our stories to be interesting as well. So.
Oh, they must have been smoking crack when they said that.
Must be doing something more or less right.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
So when we started this program, about, let's say half of the people in the U.S. had an in-home router for their network. When we started the program, most people had a wire, a network wire that plugged into their service provider's hub, right? Because we didn't have all the Wi-Fi stuff that we do now.
Right.
Wi-Fi was around, but it wasn't as secure. It wasn't as fancy. It didn't have as much capability. Now you've got the average home has 30 different things tied into your internet through your Wi-Fi. And then you go, no way. But start counting them up. Do you have a smart thermostat? Yeah. Okay. Do you have a couple of tablets in the house? Do you have a smartphone in the house? All that stuff, all of those items are addresses on your router list.
Yep.
So when I tell people that,
Your Roomba.
Yeah, your Roomba. Yeah. security cameras that tie through your Wi-Fi system. Every time you plug in a laptop, it adds an address. So I tell people when their internet starts getting really dodgy, first thing you do is you go over, find the power plug to your router. And in some cases, depending on your service provider, the router and the modem, which isn't really a modem, but it serves the purpose, is the first thing you want to do is unplug it and leave it unplugged for about 10 minutes. And what that's going to do is that it forces a hard reboot of the router, because inside the router is a address book. And every device that ties to your router and then out to the internet has a unique address, so that stuff from your smart thermostat knows where to go. If something comes in for your Kindle and it doesn't end up going to your wife's smartphone, every packet has, and it's like a phone number, only it has lots and lots of digits. Well, when this index cards, they get scrambled, bad things happen, and if it works at all, it works very, very slow. So I tell people, unplug the router and let it reset for 10 minutes. That will take care of about 90% of your network issues.
Yep, just sort of clears the cobwebs, mm-hmm. Gets the junk out of the way.
Now, this is a little upsetting, and we have hammered on this innumerable times on this show. 2,205 people were surveyed, and the survey said that 82% of them had never changed their router's default administrative password.
Oh, dear. That is alarming.
Yes. Similarly, 82% had never changed the default network name, 86% had never updated the router's firmware, 70% had never checked to see if any unknown devices were hanging out on their networks, and 69% never changed the default Wi-Fi password.
Oh, dear.
If you have an older model router, and even some of the cheaper new ones, you might as well leave your front door unlocked,
yep,
and a big sign saying, come in and take my stuff,
yep,
and watch my kids in their beds while you're at it.
Yep.
Because if your young one has a laptop, and this is a story we're going to talk about later, this is a growing thing where a subset of hackers get into,
yep,
people's computers.
Yep.
It is a story that will have you reaching for the tape and the sticky notes. Anyway, if you have not done that, And the reasons given for people not doing this was, the instructions are too hard to follow. I don't understand them. Nobody's going to come after my stuff. Now, the new generation of routers, because I checked on this, our AT&T router, which is tied to UVerse, mm-hmm, has a complex password, and the router's administrative password is encrypted.
Uh-huh.
And now,
that's a good thing.
Right. Every router, instead of a factory default, every router shipped, and Comcast does this now, and ATT and Charter, there's a sticker on your router.
Yep.
By the way, if you have work people who come into the house and perform odd jobs and things like that, especially if it's technically oriented, cover up the sticker. Because...
Or put your router in a locked
drawer. Exactly. Because once they have the network name and that passcode...
They can go do things.
They can get into your system.
Yep.
And this is a big thing.
That's the fire... That's on your house side, your computer side of any firewall that you
right.
might have tried to build into that router.
So the thing to do...
Or modem.
Is before you get hacked, hopefully.
Take a little preventative.
If you have misplaced, lost, or thrown... I don't need instructions, I'm a man. Thrown out the manual.
That's quite sexist, but okay.
Am I right?
No comment. No comment.
I'm a guy. I got this. You can look up your make model of router and or search change administrative password on blah blah router. Whether it's a Netgear, whether it's a 3Com, whether it's a Charter, you know, whether it's AT&T, whoever made it, put in the make and model and change administrative password, and you will get step-by-step instructions, possibly even a video.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, yep. Rather than, you don't have to open the box and flip switches. Those days are way behind
us. Oh, yes. Gosh, I remember that. Those little dip switches, whatever stands for. But
dual inline package.
Oh, okay.
Not the...
And you always needed a ballpoint pen or a really sharp pencil to make those work.
It was a $20 tool.
Yeah.
You didn't want to do it with a pencil because the tip would break off, go inside, and short the switch.
Oh, okay. Well, a pin would work.
Yeah,
but
a ballpoint pen works rather nicely. Anyway.
I'm dating myself.
There is, your router should have a default address that you would open up a browser on your computer, open up a new tab, and enter that address. And usually it's something like HTTPS, :// 192.168.0.1, and that is the default address of a lot of routers. Now, your particular router may have a different address,
mm-hmm.
but it will be something like that. Now, the latest generation of routers, you just type in a website name, and instead of going out to the internet, it opens up the router's internal software.
Mm.
Now, if you have a Charter or UVerse device, the firmware is generally updated automatically. But if you have a 3Com or a Netgear or one of the other major brands of routers, you may have to manually go in and update. And if you have an off-brand because it was $20 cheaper at the store and it's some name that you can't pronounce.
Yeah, be really, really wary of that.
Yeah, you could be in for a rude shock.
Yeah,
because,
opening yourself up to the possibility of some serious malware.
Some of this stuff from distant nations with not-so-nice intentions are rigged to...
Harvest your information
because some of these places are hoping that some cheapskate business will buy one of these things
and get connected to something important.
Right, right. So
this is something we've talked about. These devices require maintenance, and that's the headache with the convenience. So the good that comes with the good is there, but also the annoying that comes with the good is there. You really have to be cognizant of how to maintain these devices. It's not unlike changing the oil in your car on a regular basis.
Right.
It's something you have to do.
We've reached a point, most people can't change their own oil, nor would they wish to. So they take the car to a mechanic.
Right.
Having your in-house internet serviced properly is no less important than that oil change.
Right. If you're really confused by it, grab your nearest 8-year-old, and they can probably figure it out. But the point is that it's not hard to learn, and Bob makes a very good point about having Google it and YouTube it. There's so much stuff. I had a conversation the other day with a university graduate student. They said, oh, my gosh, thank goodness for Google and YouTube and things like that, so that we could learn some of this stuff and be able to watch it again and again until you absorb it. So it's not difficult. It really is not difficult. There's lots of different ways to approach this, but that's a good one. But you must just highly, highly, highly recommend you do that. Save yourself a headache.
Now, our home is typical of many that people have right now. We have our U-verse, and it doesn't matter whether it comes over a twisted pair, over a fiber, lucky dogs, or cable. The process is the same. You have some kind of modulator, demodulator, that's what modem stands for, some kind of device that interfaces between your in-house network and the internet at large, whether it is accessed over a coaxial cable, over twisted pair wires, or fiber, or radio. Once you get inside the house, everything is the same. And going through your internal router, if it doesn't quite reach far enough and you don't want to, when I was much younger, I used to run wires for network connectors. You know, the oversized phone plugs. That has become less popular. We used to pre-wire houses for a long time. It was practice to wire houses for phone and data. And for a while, we were even wiring with fiber because everybody thought that fiber was going to be a thing in the house. Trouble was putting connectors on fiber optic.
Oh, that would be a bit difficult.
It is time-consuming, and it's dangerous because if you get a finger with that glass thing, it'll punch a hole in your heart.
Wow.
Just like eating, just like sticking glass in your mouth on a smaller scale.
Or a fox tail grass seed can cause an injury to your varmint.
Yes. So that sort of fell. And there were fiber optic connectors that were quick and easy, but they were still incredibly expensive. Anyway, some houses do have fiber. Most, though, will have the twisted pair wire, which can carry an awful lot of traffic very fast, or they are completely wireless. And again, when we're completely wireless, you're going to have dead spots in your house. So what we have in our house is we have a Netgear extender, and these come in various shapes and sizes. I personally no longer recommend the ones that plug into a wall outlet and send the signal through the house wiring. The reason is that they're noisy, especially if you do anything with a house radio,
right,
or if maybe, God forbid, you're an amateur operator or something. These things just spew noise. And that's one of the big concerns about distributing the internet over power lines, is that their harmonics, the multiples of the waves that carry the signals, are just going to fill. It's going to be like driving under a power line all the time. Ever drive under a power line with your car radio on?
Ooh.
Yeah, it'd be like that all the time.
Not FM, but AM does that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a new Linksys is another brand. Netgear is a big brand. There are what are called mesh routers now, where you can put three or four devices in your home, and they will link up to provide you good coverage throughout your home, especially if you have a fairly large home. But the whole thing is, the whole point of this first story, of course, change. If you have an older, if you've had the same router in your closet, you know, for 10 years, it's time to look at it and think about either changing it out to something with a better security system or at least updating your password and firmware.
Chances are you've had a more modern version anyway because your system has changed. You've gone from a dial-up to some kind of wired thing or maybe even cable ISP. And you need a router that can keep up or make use of the full capability of your connection.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want an old, slow router with a new, fast line, other words. So if you've had your modem around for a while, then you might want to upgrade that as well.
Right.
Routers are a little less susceptible to that sort of thing, unless it's all the same thing.
Now, we ran into a situation. We used to have DSL, damn slow lines.
Well, it was okay when we first got it. Tell everybody else, join in on the party line.
Slower and slower and slower. And finally, apparently, all the open slots on our road were full because we have a neighbor who couldn't even get DSL service.
Right.
And, yes, our service was slowing to the point where movies were practically unwatchable.
Yeah, it was just bad.
And just as in fact, we went with a wireless solution for about 9 months, and it was expensive, but it worked. It was actually a point-to-point.
Yeah, it wasn't hideously expensive, but it was definitely much more expensive than cable or you know, like UVerse or the equivalent. Yeah.
Finally, UVerse came into our neighborhood. They brought fiber to the road, where to the main road, and then the last mile was conventional twisted copper, where they could get a high speed. So we're not quite high speed internet in our house. The cutoff for high speed internet is about 25 megabits a second, and we're on a good day we're getting 10 to 18. I haven't checked lately, but that seems to be about the benchmark is what I'm seeing.
It's never what they tell you the max is. It never seems to be as fast as I...
Up to.
There's the clue right there. Uh-huh. They lie like a rug.
Well, we are reaching the end of an era. It will take a little while, beginning... and in fact, it's been going on. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, and Discover... have all announced plans to remove the requirement that a merchant collects a signature for your credit card transaction.
For some time, that has been quite obsolete, actually.
Yeah. Between chip cards and wireless systems and things like that. Although, I saw as recently as last year somebody break out one of those slidey things to run the card.
Slidey things.
Yeah, you know, you put the card in there and put the carbon thingy
the,
up.
The very... analog version that required your card to be set in there, and it made a carbon print of it.
I saw somebody use that because their main terminal system was down. When a terminal goes down, I mean, nowadays they have either they just shut the door, or they break out some forms and start filling in stuff. Most of your major stores will just shut down, send everybody home.
That's amazing. where were we when they had that? Oh, well, I have this old analog thing. And it's like, wow, you even still have some of the carbons. You probably can't even get them anymore.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, the reason for that is that the signature is actually not all that secure and not that necessary. The chips in the cards have improved things enormously in terms of security, as well as PINs, personal identification numbers, and things like that. Europe has been using this system for some time, and the incidence of fraud has dropped significantly on this.
And Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, things like that are further pushing the traditional sign here. And the need to give your card to a complete stranger who hauls it off into a back room.
Yep.
More and more, you are able to pay right there at the table and keep track, or even pay off your phone. More people are doing that. With one-time payment codes that are scanned in. You set up the transaction, a code appears, usually in the form of a QR code, that's the checkerboard-looking thing, and you hold it in front of a scanner, that code is only good one time.
Now I lost my train of thought. I do hate it when that happens, something about payments. I was somewhere recently, and they just assumed that I was going to pay with a debit or credit card. And when I whipped out cash, they sort of looked at me, blink, blink, blink.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to reset the little device. And fortunately, it was in a store with I had a number of items. They didn't have to run the items back through the register or the scanner. But it was just, they were like, nobody pays with cash here.
The push for a cashless society. We heard a story about this on the BBC. And I think it's Sweden is pushing into cashless society, where they have restricted how much you can get out of an ATM. Your money is still there, but to get actual cash money. And the reasoning given is that it will reduce crime. And, of course, the government can track everything you do so they can get their value-added tax, because that's a big thing over there.
Every
transaction tracked and every transaction taxed.
That's crazy. It's been proposed here, too, as well.
Yep, along with a lot of other crazy ideas. Hey, we got some good ideas coming up after this break. Alan Balaji joins us with this weekly tech report on Boomer Tech Radio, the tech news you could use right after this. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
This is John Cox, Republican candidate for governor. California already had the highest income tax rate in the nation, along with sky-high sales taxes. But with liberals like Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom, it's never enough. Now you're facing huge increases to register your vehicle on top of a whopping 12 cents a gallon increase in the gas tax. And for what? To pour billions more into Caltrans, one of the most bloated and corrupt bureaucracies on the planet. A bureaucracy that spends 2.5 times as much to build and maintain a mile of road as in the rest of the country. When taxpayer groups asked me to chair the campaign to repeal this outrageous tax, I readily agreed. And now I'm asking for your help. To download the petition, go to johncoxforgovernor.com. Are you ready to take back California? Then join me. This is John Cox, Republican candidate for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for Governor 2018.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Arr.
What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab up the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
I'm going up, down, up, down, back home, 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 girl.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio, and it's that time during the show when we bring in our technical correspondent, my son, Alan Belongi. Alan, welcome back.
Howdy, howdy.
So, Mr. Zuckerberg goes to Washington, and this is the thing.
Hilarity ensues.
Well, this is the thing, and I think you made the point earlier that he's talking to a large group of lawmakers, most of whom have staff to handle their social media and may or may not have actually picked up a smartphone in their lives, much less done anything on social media or any form of technology more advanced than a dial telephone. And they're expected to pass intelligent laws regulating all of the above.
The human race is doomed, or at least America. But no, you have a bunch of people, which it's fine that they don't use technology. They don't have to get by in this world, really. It's fine that they don't use Facebook. It's fine that I don't use Facebook. It's fine that they don't use, you know, any sort of social media or smartphones or whatnot. But when you put all the power in their hands to regulate anything and they start regulating things that they completely don't understand, then it starts sounding a little scary. Like when one of the congressmen, I forgot the name exactly, but he asked Zuckerberg, so how exactly do you make money when your service is free? And the Zuckerberg responds, we run ads. Like, yeah, that's how all services that are quote-unquote free make their money, by the way.
And it's targeted advertising based on what you have liked, what you have looked at. When I look at something on Amazon, for instance, a piece of audio-video gear I send off for a microphone or whatever, I will, for the next several days, see ads for audio equipment and audio gear and video equipment. If I look for something for my boat on the West Marine site, lo and behold, guess what shows up in my Facebook feed?
Yep, boat ads.
Yes.
Though those things are funny, as sometimes, you know, you look for a lawnmower and you purchase said lawnmower and then you get lawnmower ads for the next 2 years. I don't really need another one. I think
exactly.
I'm good.
Yeah. But that's the targeted advertising. And same with the sidebar in Google, which most of us just ignore anyway. But apparently, like the Nigerian money scam, just enough people click on it to make it a paying proposition.
Yeah, I run my internet in a different way than other people. I use a ad block a lot of times. It's not like the best thing to do because it prevents ads from showing at my internet experience, but it fascinates me when I go and use a computer that doesn't have it running and I'm just bombarded with ads that most people, you know, don't even pay attention to, but I don't even see it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many there are, and you notice it more when you don't have them for a while and you all of a sudden get all of them. Between YouTube's ads before every single video, and sometimes sidebars on both sides of websites being flashing banner ads. Fortunately, most of them have stopped the noise, the sound that comes through on them. But it's ridiculous how much advertisement is out there and how much, well, most people ignore it, but like you said, at least some people press it in order to keep it going.
A significant number of people have to engage with the advertisement or it simply wouldn't be taking place. That's, you know, come on. It's got to be that way or it wouldn't happen.
And you don't even necessarily have to click on said ad for it to have an effect on you. You know, as long as you see it and the product gets stuck in your mind subconsciously or consciously, that can make a decision to change.
Yeah.
You know, whether you know it or not. That's how advertisement's been run since the beginning of time. Well, since advertisement was a thing, really. Mm-hmm. Even on TV commercials, when you're not paying attention, you're kind of half paying attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Your brain's still taking it in. On the radio, when you hear the commercials, your brain's still taking it in, even though you might actively be trying to disengage from it. But anyway, yeah, senators not knowing that that's what Facebook does to make a profit makes it a little scary to know that they might be the ones regulating them.
Well, a case in point, and you get the laws of unintended consequences. This law that was passed overwhelmingly because it's going to save children from being sold into sexual slavery. Well, who wouldn't get behind that, right?
Yeah.
But the chilling
like
effect has been upon writers and advertisers and things like that. Yeah, Backpage is down, but Backpage had some pretty sleazy stuff. They didn't get rid of the sleazy stuff. They just drove it underground and out of sight. So, by golly, we've accomplished something because you can't see it. It's still there, but you can't see it. Therefore, we have done something. A lot of writers on Amazon who wrote erotica have suddenly discovered that their revenues have dropped dramatically. And some people go, well, yeah, we don't need that smut. But this is stuff that was, you know, aimed for mature market segments. Yeah, it's not Captain Kangaroo, but it is aimed at a specific market segment. It is kept away from kids, but in the name of this law, and I can't even think of it, but it has to do with preventing sex trafficking, Amazon has pushed a lot of their erotica titles out of, you know, they put them under the counter at the 7-Eleven.
Right, and since it's online, it's not like you can just easily ask, so, hey, where's that thing? You might not even know it exists.
Exactly.
An online marketplace.
So, and it's got a chilling effect on, and there are those, I'm sure, who say, well, yeah, we want to make sure that none of that stuff is seen by anybody, and we want any material that we don't agree with to be destroyed, i.e. burning the books, i.e. that was done in Germany in the 1930s. It did not work out well.
Not really. Anytime you want to take away somebody's voice, regardless of whether you disagree with that or agree with that voice or not, you're advocating a type of censorship that really should not be allowed. It's you can disagree with them. You can choose to, well, like, okay, Amazon does have the right to not sell whatever they don't want to sell. But, and you even have the right to ask them to not sell it anymore. But you definitely should not get the government penalties applied to a company for selling something that they want to sell that is perfectly legal.
Correct.
Just because somebody might misuse it or somebody might lie to them to get something that they shouldn't get, like said smut books.
Yeah, exactly. Moving along, the deadline, I guess, came and gone for the city of Atlanta, all the ransomware, and they haven't paid up yet, or did they pay up?
No, Atlanta made a point to not pay the malware attack that they got, the ransomware attack. But so far from them trying to rebuild all their infrastructure and all the private contractors they've had to seek out to get everything up and running again, it's cost them $2.7 million. Mm. And that's not even including the amount of, you know, pain in the butt that everyone's had to put up with, you know, trying to deal with their parking tickets or whatnot.
Why did they not have weekly backups that were isolated?
They've gotten plenty of warnings before this that their infrastructure is vulnerable to attack, that they need to update, but, you know, the wheels of government turn kind of slow sometimes. They're not exactly the fastest to respond to everything. So they were eventually, you know, caught with their pants down, and now the whole city's having to deal with it.
And, of course, that is all taxpayer money.
Of course it is.
Something that is moving away from taxpayer money and into private industry, of course, is spaceflight. And it looks like the race is on. Just saw a piece on Musk's moon rocket, the big, it's not the big kahuna, it has a different name, but I guess it's quite a beast, going to be built with, they came up with a machine to make huge carbon fiber constructs, which, of course, carbon fiber is a much more practical material to make a rocket out of than, say, aluminum, because it's much more durable. But now we've got a little competition going, right?
Yeah, Boeing, you know, has been on the space scene since, well, the space scene existed. They've made planes before then, and then they've made rockets and such for NASA after that. But, you know, they're still in the game. They still make things, but with SpaceX moving in and doing what they do, but cheaper, the chief CEO, Dennis Muhlenberg, there over at Boeing, is starting to make some somewhat playful, you know, digs at Elon Musk, saying that their new rocket might pick up the one out there and bring it back.
When I'm looking at that right now.
The Tesla machine that's floating out in space right now. And while that's, they're obviously not going to do that, the actual rivalry between the two companies is definitely real. They're going to be fighting neck and neck to keep, you know, providing rockets to NASA to get things up into space and for the potential, you know, Mars race that might erupt for the first people to be able to build a rocket to actually make it to Mars.
And this is an awesome thing. While there needs to be regulations because you're launching, you know, hundreds of thousands of gallons of explosive material up over people's heads, so you do want a little regulatory oversight, the competition between companies to do it better, faster, more economically, and with innovation, that is never a bad thing. So we're going to see.
Competition's always good.
Absolutely, and not just the low bidder $300,000 toilets. This all started turning around with the Mars rover missions, when instead of when they built those probes, instead of commissioning somebody to rebuild the wheel from scratch, i.e. the computers to run those probes and the motors and the actuators, they bought them off the shelf, made sure that they would work in a hostile environment, and saved millions. It's the same idea.
Reusability.
Yeah.
Reengineering, just using stuff we already got. It's like that funny joke that, not necessarily a joke, but NASA spends millions of dollars and eventually develops a ballpoint pen, you know, a pen that'll be able to use in space.
The Russians
just brought a pencil.
The only trouble with pencils, of course, is that it has to be one that doesn't shed carbon particles all over everything. But it's a good
thing. Yeah, I don't want to get that everywhere.
Yeah, you don't want that in a zero-G environment. Speaking of environments, one of the big breakthrough areas for things like congenital diseases that are caused by damage to the DNA, and a lot of babies are born with defects. And of course, it's a tragic thing when that happens. Millions of dollars spent on care and treatment for kids built with these defects, or maybe somebody has a pancreas or something that just isn't quite up to snuff. We are on the cusp, and this is a technology that can go horribly wrong, and if you follow the Hollywood view, or it can save a lot of lives. And it has an interest. It has a name like a breakfast cereal.
The CRISPR.
Yes.
If you've ever heard of it, it's a gene editing technology. And when you think of gene editing, you think like putting, you know, elephant tusks on people or something. Like no, something like that. What it does is it's able to change or slightly manipulate genes that we already all have. Humans only use about like 0.5% of the DNA that's in us. All the rest of it's like inactive, disused junk DNA that's just caused from millions and millions of, you know, years of evolution. Just since, you know, we don't necessarily need all the DNA that, you know, we had when we were more like monkeys or whatever. But not all of it necessarily sloughed off over time. And now this technology goes in and it's able to make slight changes or edits to genes that we already have to either increase or decrease certain risk factors for particular, like you said, heart disease or anything like that. And Bill Gates recently came out and claimed that it would be a tragedy to pass up the opportunity that CRISPR provides.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the amount of immense gain the human race could get from just being able to take care of all sorts of different problems. Like, might even be able to make things like introduce into, let's say, a mosquito population the inability to carry malaria, which if you were able to get, you know, all the mosquitoes out there to carry that gene, which if you introduce a large enough population, it would be able to spread fairly quickly, then they wouldn't be able to carry malaria, and that would save a heck of a lot of people's lives, because mm-hmm. it's like the number one killer over in Africa, for example.
Yes. And here, very similar to Congress passing laws on technology that they simply can't wrap their minds around, because you've got to know quite a bit to be able to make intelligent decisions on this. So it is with the life sciences. So many advances are held back because there's this Hollywood-based or maybe religion-based fear. Well, if you tamper with the organism, you are playing God. And the Frankenstein mindset. And that's been holding back an awful lot of stuff. And I'm not saying go willy-nilly William Gibson human modification stuff, but at least allow the research. If you don't have the research in a legitimate fashion, the research will happen in an illegitimate fashion out of sight. Just like the sex workers, the prostitution. Taking away the advertising does not eliminate the problem. All you've done is
China's put it under a rug. China's going to be going full force in all of this, regardless of whether we do it or not, for example.
Same with artificial intelligence research. There's people say, well, we need to pass a law and outlaw it. And that is going to do exactly what, boys and girls?
Nothing.
Yeah. It's going to enable a politician who is running, you know, for re-election to say, well, look, I did something. I passed a law. And I don't mean to mock the politicians, but they certainly leave themselves open for it.
Yeah. But with this technology, the CRISPR technology for the gene editing, it'd be really easy to, for example, get cows to produce more milk, or chickens produce more eggs more likely, or crops be able to produce their own pesticides that has no drawbacks on people, or mushrooms that last longer after they're harvested and they don't rot as fast, all mm-hmm. sorts of different things that would help with the food generation and preservation, mm-hmm. and that would be pretty darn good for not just the economy, but for, you know, getting food to people that need it and get them healthy.
Go into any grocery store and you're going to see label after. See, the buzzword used to be organic. Now
I think
the buzz,
it still is for the most part.
Yeah,
but
now the buzzword is GMO-free.
Oh, and yeah.
Even
yeah.
if a product has never been created with a genetically modified organization, if you slap GMO-free on the label, people will have a more positive look at the product. Because
by the way,
of the
everything
hysteria.
You've ever eaten, everything you've ever eaten is GMO, everything, because it's called evolution.
Exactly.
Everything, bananas, for example, are
the Cavendish,
definitely
yes.
genetically modified.
Yes.
Because the banana, the wild banana, before we started cultivating it, looks and tastes way different. Cows are genetically modified. I don't know if you like realize this, but cows wouldn't exactly live all that well out in the wild. They're kind of selectively bred, which is a type of genetic modification, to be herded and taken care of. They don't really live on their own all that well.
I have a genetically modified organism sleeping at the foot of my chair as I make this recording. It's called a dog, specifically a Beagle Cross. That didn't happen naturally. That was manipulation of the animal's genes through selective breeding. There's really, you find a certain trait that a mutation that happens at random, and you breed for that mutation. There is no difference, hear this again, there is no difference in a mutation that happens at random because of a chemical something or a cosmic ray and going in and carefully, selectively altering a sequence. There is no difference when the organism comes along. Could the technology be misused? You bet your behind it could be misused. So could anything. A rock can be misused but beat somebody over the head. Okay.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't learn about it.
Exactly. Finally,
one way or the other. If it's decided that some of these things are too dangerous, well, fine. We'll worry about them when we get there. But it's going to be found out, again, one way or the other, by somebody. So wouldn't it be better to find it out ourselves first?
Exactly. Finally, I am doing my recording on a game PC. That's about the only market segment of PCs. And, of course, businesses are still buying PCs. But overall, the personal at-home PC, as we have known it for many, many years, is still slumping. So sales down for 14 quarters now?
Yep, since 2012, it's starting to show a decline, but for now it's been 14 quarters in a row where regular computer sales have gone down. It's really not that surprising. With the cell phones coming out and people not even needing a computer anymore, heck, I know plenty of people that just do all of their internet on their cell phone. So there's not a lot of reason for most people to have an at-home PC.
I would also suggest that the PC processing power has hit a good solid plateau in that an i7 processor will do a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of capability. You want to add a little more memory, whatever. But for most tasks, you don't necessarily need a much more powerful processor until we come up with a whole radical new technology.
It's true. A while back, we've had processors that have been good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the company I work for, we are using computers that are, you know, 8 years old, and they've been updated and they came with Windows XP, and now they're running Windows 10. They just do just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, they're not great, but they do good enough.
My Mac.
And all of that.
Good.
Good.
My MacBook Pro runs just fine after 5 years, and it's running High Sierra. I can probably get at least another couple of years out of it, but that's a Mac. We are all out of time for this segment. It just it goes flying by, I swear. Having lots of fun. Alan, thank you very much for your report this week.
No problem.
All right.
Next week.
And Boomer Tech Radio will continue right after SRN News at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Mission accomplished. Those words from the commander-in-chief after last night's military action against Syria's chemical weapons arsenal.
President Trump tweeted that Friday night's Allied missile strikes in Syria were perfectly executed and could not have had a better result. He also claimed, mission accomplished. That language was curious given President George W. Bush's similar claim in 2003 following the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. On Twitter, Mr. Trump also thanked France and the United Kingdom for their wisdom and the power of their fine military. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The U.S. has struck Syria before, but Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford says this one was different.
Last year, we conducted a unilateral strike on a single site. The focus was on the aircraft associated with the Syrian chemical weapons attack in April of 2017. This evening, we conducted strikes with two allies on multiple sites that will result in a long-term degradation of Syria's capability to research, develop, and employ chemical and biological weapons.
At an emergency session of the Security Council today, called for by Russia to ask a resolution to condemn what they're calling the Allied aggression, Ambassador Nikki Haley says the strike was justified.
Our message was crystal clear. The United States of America will not allow the Assad regime to continue to use chemical weapons.
At the end of the session, the resolution failed to pass. Only Russia, China, and Bolivia voted in favor. Meanwhile, a Russian disinformation campaign has already begun over the U.S.-led airstrikes. Chief Pentagon spokeswoman Dana White said today that there, quote, has been a 2,000% increase in Russian trolls just in the past 24 hours alone. Check out more news, read more analysis. Get them both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have Omega, which is fish oil, Resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. Icaria and Curcumin all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and then get ReliefFactor.com.
The price of oil continues its strong climb.
Benchmark U.S. crude added 32 pennies a barrel on Friday to close at $67.39 in New York. It's the U.S. oil's highest settlement price since 2014. Brent crude, that's the international standard, rose by 56 pennies a barrel at $72.58. In other energy trading, natural gas was up 5 pennies at $2.74 per 1,000 cubic feet. Heating oil up 2 cents or $2.10 per gallon. And wholesale gasoline added a penny at $2.07 a gallon. Bob Agnew reporting.
University of Oklahoma President David Boren had a medical episode right before the unveiling of a statue honoring former Oklahoma football coach Bob Stoops this morning. He was taken away on a stretcher. Boren is 76. He's a former U.S. senator and has been a university president since 1994. He's retiring in June. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. Food and Drug Administration's banned the sale of pure caffeine to consumers. Dr. Charles Snyderman tells us more about the risk.
Powdered and liquid pure or near-pure caffeine has been available online and at health food stores. A teaspoon of pure powdered caffeine looks like a teaspoon of sugar and can cause seizures and cardiac arrest. Even the small amount of caffeine in our daily beverages like coffee, tea, and sodas can cause high blood pressure, heart arrhythmias, headaches, tremors, and sleep disturbance. The FDA requires warning labels on energy drinks, but there's no plan to regulate their sale or use. This is Dr. Charles Snyder reporting from Washington.
On this date in 1912, the British liner RMS Titanic collided with an iceberg in the North Atlantic at 11:40 ship's time and began sinking. The ship went under 2 hours and 40 minutes later with the loss of 1,514 lives. More news, more analysis, get them both. Simply log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Well, hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio, and I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We're Analog Living, Digital World, and this is the show with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news that you can use. Brought to you in Northern California, if you're listening to us on KCNR, by our folks at Advanced Automotive of Reading. But we are also podcast throughout the known universe.
That's a scary thought.
Yes. Well, radio signals from our early shows are probably now passing through a few star systems.
Well, let's see, how far can it go in 10 years at 186,000 miles a second type of thing?
About 10 light years.
Miles per hour? I forget now. Yeah. See, I forget. Meters per second. That's what it is. Now I got to look it up.
There is actually a list of star systems that may have habitable planets, based on the latest research. It's one of the Centauri cluster, about 4.6 light years away.
Well, the thing about it is that a signal from any of our media would be very, 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 very weak.
Yeah.
By the time it got out that far.
But in theory.
Right. You wrote a story about that, sci-fi story, about that one time.
Action, yeah.
Yeah, big.
The elusive story.
This big net antenna, mm-hmm. and the client was paying handsomely for you to capture some media, mm-hmm. and that turns out it was an episode of I Love Lucy. It was an awesome story.
Ah, you spoiled.
Yeah, well, nobody can read it anywhere, so.
Oh, dear me. Lots of second half of the first hour, Alan Belongi will be joining us via Skype. The big story of this week, oh, my goodness, seems like everybody's hating on Facebook this week. Zuckerberg, and it just keeps getting better. Oh, my goodness. Now a report.
It's like deeper and deeper.
Oh, yeah. Now a report. We're going to hit several headlines. Apparently, some of the latest news is that Facebook, I flipped about six pages into the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, because this caught my eye, that according to The Verge, which is one of the magazines that we check with, Facebook secretly deleted messages that Mark Zuckerberg sent via Messenger. This headline is, Facebook has admitted the company has been secretly deleting messages sent by founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, saying that after Sony Pictures' emails were hacked in 2014, they made a number of changes to protect executive communications. These include the retention period for Mark's messages in Messenger. We did so in full compliance of our legal obligations to preserve messages. This is starting to sound an awful lot like the missing IRS email.
Yeah, and mail servers and who did what and what have you. Oh, my goodness.
My computer crashed, so all my emails are gone. Anybody who knows anything about how email works laughed at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Your computer doesn't have the only copy of an email that has been sent.
Oh, well, conveniently, they wiped the backup, so they're all gone. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yes, well, of course, Facebook's privacy policies and data protection is under scrutiny, so, you know, what they're selling and doing. You know, there's nothing free about these
That's right.
things. You either have to view ads or they're gathering data on you and selling it, and mostly both, I think. Mm-hmm. And I am on the verge of just turning my Facebook off and only tapping into it every once in a while. There's really, amongst all of the folks that I'm friends with on Facebook, there's about three that I follow pretty consistently. For one thing, they post genuine activities on their part that I can keep up a bit with what's going on in their lives. They don't see much out of me because I don't post much on Facebook. I barely have time to watch Facebook or look at Facebook, much less post stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I don't, I just don't do much of that.
Well, since the Cambridge Analytica revelations scandalized the social media giant, Facebook has scrambled to contain the damage. They have lost $80 billion, with a B, dollars worth of market value since this all came out, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. The Euros are opening up privacy investigations, mm-hmm. figuring out the Australians.
Mm-hmm. And in Europe, they have far stricter
right.
privacy laws than they do here.
The right to be forgotten.
Which, yeah, whether it be Google or whomever is going to have to start toeing the mark with the European policies, but regulations, what have you. But, you know, excuse me while I get out the 2-inch fiddle and play the world's smallest violin for yeah. Facebook. I just, you know, a juggernaut like that, they lose some face with this.
Well, everybody's piling on right now. And
well, even so, this is inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's sort of a breach of etiquette, trust, ethics, integrity, you know, you name it in that capacity. Yeah. Over greed. Because it really does get down to the money, honey, type of thing.
The concerns of European consumer organizations are supposedly justifiable. It's already been confirmed by a Norwegian news agency that as many as 37,550 Norwegians might have been affected by Cambridge Analytica's This Is Your Digital Life, even though, in fact, only 17 Norwegians actually downloaded the app.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, how does that math work?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Data protection authorities can force Facebook to stop or change certain practices. And, of course, Facebook has been and Google have just been favorite targets of the Euros because they want their own stuff to be pushed out front. So I think that the social network is in big trouble. People are leaving it in droves. Now, young people were already abandoning
pretty
Facebook
much gone.
In droves in favor
mm-hmm.
of the next shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes a story that Facebook had. This is the according to the Register, the UK Register, which is an IT publication, that Facebook was trying to access and match medical data.
Right.
Yeah,
they had approached, who was it? I want to say Humana or somebody like that, to buy medical information.
Now, this is supposedly all anonymized for a research project. Now, Facebook had apparently planned to encrypt the identities of the users, but just as through Cambridge Analytica, this was supposedly anonymous user data, but through backtracking messenger data files, they were able to track down whose information it was, and then sell it or use it for targeted advertising or the alleged, and this is what Congress is going to be asked, allegedly trying to skew public opinion in a direction towards a desired outcome in an election. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If you are a sole source information kind of person, shame on you.
Well, yeah, that's just not a good idea. I mean, that would be like trying to research something and going to Google, type it in, and click on only one of the things that comes up in the browser for your complete source of information on anything. Now, Wikipedia is pretty good about a lot of stuff, but you still have to cross-reference things.
Yeah. Now, I don't listen to Fox News, but shame on you if that is your only source of news.
Absolutely.
Shame on you if NPR is your only source of news. You have to have a bigger lens than that.
Right.
And shame on you if Facebook is your only source.
I think it's good to check out several different points of view on a story because not everybody, let's pick on two big ones, CNN and Fox News, for instance. They'll often have different little tidbits about a story, provide a different point of view, and it provides a little more perspective on it, even though I'm not so sure the media in general is, you know, reporting everything that there is to report or reporting it in an unbiased way. But that's why I don't watch television news and things like that. I sort of check in with things just to kind of know what the headlines are. And sometimes I don't get into the details too much because there's either not much known or it's just so disgusting that you really don't want to know the details.
Now, I'm not going to recommend, and I'm certainly not going to tell people what to do. I would just tell you what I personally have done. I have removed the Messenger app from my Android Note 8.
I did the same.
I have not had Facebook on it for quite some time, quite frankly, because it eats the daylights out of my battery. It's not quite as bad if you have a iOS device, an Apple device. I still have it on my iPad along with Messenger because somebody might send me something on Messenger, and in order to have some sort of chance of seeing it, I'll look on there once in a while. But I'm about one annoyance away from purging that, too, and just saying, sorry, if you want to get hold of me, don't use Facebook. I'm done. I'm annoyed with these people.
Well,
and there's one way to show your annoyance.
I've never been a fan to begin with, so it doesn't take much for me to think about it. And I think I've gone the last week and a half with looking at Facebook for maybe a grand total of 15 minutes in the entire week and a half. Just kind of skim through, check in with a few people that are on there, and then I'm done with it.
I'll occasionally launch off some sort of pithy comment. I reminisced, in fact, in a posting about my very first radio gig was in the Navy, and I got quite a few feedbacks on that. That was an original post. It wasn't just refeeding something, which you find irritating when people do.
Oh,
that,
it's
right?
Just so unimaginative.
Yeah.
It really is. If I wanted to know everything about dachshunds, I could go find out about that for myself. I don't need somebody posting it on their Facebook. And I have a Facebook friend like that, and it's just, I don't care. It doesn't tell me anything about the individual. Well, what isn't that the point of Facebook, is that I can kind of keep up with you?
Right.
You know, so, not what you think of as cute regarding dachshunds, which leads me to believe that's your entire life.
Yeah. So I'm looking. Now I delete the cleavage and yoga pants requests just right away.
I don't get that stuff. That is just so disgusting.
But I have received several, quote, friend requests from some young lady who's young enough to be my granddaughter. Taking a shot right down the, you know, right down the valley there, and emphasizing her attributes, which, okay, glad you're proud of them, young lady, but I have no interest. And then now here's one, a friend request that just came up, Kazim Agansina, who I've never heard of this person. I have no mutual friends.
Yeah, zero mutual friends is a clue right there.
Former musician. I have no idea who this person possibly could be or why they would have sent me a request. I'm baffled by that. I don't know what they... now, here there is a legitimate message in my Messenger, and of course it took me a couple of days to see it, and I'll follow up on that. But I have a client who that's how they contact me. And I may have to tell them, nah, use the good old email. You know, take a few extra turns, type a little bit, and don't just send it off your phone through Messenger, because it may be days before I see it. And that's, you reach a point when you think, no, I'm not going to be part of this lemming thing anymore. You know, Facebook has a lemming.
of the planet in their clutches. That's too much. And that's with some severe restrictions in places like China and other countries. Anyway, I think we've railed on them enough. Congress is going to be breaking out the big stick.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, right?
Yeah. Let's look at some other stories, and we may find some more. Alan, I think, when he does his segment here in about 10 minutes, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the Facebook stuff. Well, gee, you know, here all these, according to Engadget, yet another big box company has found out that maybe their customer data has been breached and exposed
yeah.
and sent out to the world. Sears and Delta have revealed that thousands of their customers may have had personal and financial information exposed. This was because companies had entrusted data to the tech firm 24/7 AI, which itself suffered a breach and last fall. And another well-known corporation has had its data potentially compromised. That would be Best Buy.
Amazing,
whoops.
Right?
Luckily, and this is how it always starts. They anticipate that only a small fraction of overall online Best Buy shoppers may have had their information compromised.
Right.
This is how the Yahoo thing started. Well, we think that a small segment of our user base, an insignificant number of people, maybe possibly have had their information compromised, when it turned out it was everybody who has ever used Yahoo for anything.
Right.
In a statement, Best Buy confirmed that the company 24/7 AI provided a chat service that customers used from their phone or computer. The breach happened back in September and October, and customer payment information from some of the firm's companies may have been compromised. Therefore, if you used Best Buy's chat service, you may have had your data exposed. The retail giant did not offer further information.
Well, it's a good thing that why would you go to Best Buy for a chat service? I'm not really sure.
Well, tech support,
maybe,
I think, probably need to
talk
to
that
the
could be. That could be. Yep, I could see that. Although they kind of narrowed it down to where if you used your mobile device. So not quite sure what that's all about. Seems like there's more to that story in terms of the technical details. But most of these stores that have your phone number because you have a loyalty card or a discount card or whatever, I suppose that information could be a compromise, because a lot of times it has your address as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like the kind of thing that may have been compromised in this case. But hey, I guess I just assume that my stuff's out there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great,
another hack.
Privacy breach. Yeah, another hack. And that's awful. You think about it, that's not good that I just accepted a kind
normal.
Of role. Yeah, normal that should not be normal or that we shouldn't really tolerate, really. But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I mean, the individual consumer doesn't have any control over that. And there I have to agree that maybe the Europeans have the right idea about privacy things, and the laws and policies that they have in place might not be such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. The Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery mobile game is slated for release soon. One of the two new iOS titles that are coming this year.
Sorry, Android.
Hogwarts
right?
Mystery, yep. It will even include voiceovers from some of the original
yep.
film actors.
Yep.
Now, this isn't your headliners, you know. You're not going to hear Hermione or Harry or I forget his name.
What, Weasley?
Weasley, yeah, yeah.
Well,
but,
yeah, some of them, though, are pretty
yeah.
mainstream.
Matter of fact, Dame Maggie Smith, who played
yep.
McGonagall.
Yep, Professor McGonagall.
Michael Gambon, who was one of the Dumbledores.
Yep.
There were a couple of them. Warwick Davis, who has a long history with the Star Wars movies.
Right. He was Professor Flitwick.
Willow.
Yep, Willow, another one.
Yeah.
Yep, he's very recognizable in movies. Yep.
Sally Mortimer, who was Madame Irma Pence.
I don't remember that character very well.
Gemma Jones, Madame Pomfrey.
She was the medical, the sick bait person.
Oh, okay. And Zoe Wanamaker, who was Madame Hooch.
I don't remember her either.
Yeah, but...
not so good, but it's interesting. There's some good pictures.
The role-play game.
Yeah, a role-play game, and there's some good pictures in this story that is posted on our Flipboard page that shows the actual actor and then the animated version of the character that they will play.
Now, the
they play.
In the movie's timelines, this movie takes place during the 1980s when Bill Weasley and Nymphadora Tonks were at Hogwarts. This was before Harry Potter's birth. Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery is, quote, free. Now, anytime you see a big-budget game that's free, there ain't no such thing.
It's going to ask for access to all kinds of stuff, probably.
Or there will be in-game purchases.
Well, there's that, too. You know, that those are interesting because a lot of times they get you so far in a game, and then in order to proceed...
You have to start putting
some money out. It's like, okay, bye-bye.
Downloadable content.
There you go.
That's called.
Well, they still gather data on you as to what time you play, how you play. Are you playing over a network? Are you playing over a Wi-Fi network?
Right.
Or the cell phone network versus the Wi-Fi network? I'm sure they collect all of that kind of stuff.
It does look like fun, though.
How long do you stay in the game? Blah, blah, blah.
It does look like fun. But the Hogwarts Mystery coming soon to an iDevice near you.
Well, you can check it out on your tablet. I don't think the company's going to let me put it on the company phone.
No.
That's the only iDevice I have. The rest of them are all Android-type things.
Well, of course, we had that tragic accident involving an Uber car down in Arizona. Was it New Mexico? I'm sorry.
I forget.
Yeah. And there, a lot of people thought, well, this is it for self-driving cars. They're going to be all pulled off the road and scrapped and stuff.
I thought it was
like,
in Phoenix, but maybe not.
It was, wasn't it? Where did they hold South by Southwest?
Oh, that's Austin.
Austin, Texas. Okay. Austin,
isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I'm bad with that. Now you're going to make me go look it up.
Yeah.
I will do that.
Yeah, you have to look that up. It was a crash in Arizona. And that's still under investigation. But California is proposing rules for self-driving cars to pick up passengers. Public utility regulator on Friday signaled it would allow car companies to transport passengers without a backup driver. That's a step forward for autonomous car developers. The industry is facing heightened scrutiny over safety concerns. This is early technology, and unfortunately, when you're dealing with a ton of steel, when something goes wrong, it goes wrong in a rather spectacular fashion.
Tempe, Arizona, which is
Tempe? Okay.
Just that's where Arizona State University is, just right there, in more or less in Phoenix. It's just you can't tell the difference between the city limits between Phoenix and Tempe anymore. You know, the whole thing is, I think, in some ways, that this is being thought about a little bit backwards from the point of view that self-driving cars may be the way to go in an urban center and leave out human-driven cars, where the self-driving cars take care of themselves. Having designated pickup points, maybe, like a bus.
I am thinking a
like
scaled
that.
Bus system.
Right. How is this all going to fit in? And you're right. It's very early in the game, and there's a lot that has to be figured out about this. Obviously, the technology is not perfect. Witness the fatalities that have occurred. So I'm sure with time it will get better, as all of these things do, because the reality of application is bringing up some of these problems, and they will be working to solve them.
Now, when I was in San Diego 15 years ago...
Being researchers and whatnot.
Right, there was a portion of Interstate 15 that was set aside, about a six-mile portion, set aside for self-driving car tests. And during certain hours of the day, the high-occupancy lanes, and it were switchable high-occupancy lanes, that in the morning would be as they come in into town, in the evening as you went out of town, but... In the off hours, they would shut down the lanes and use this six-mile stretch for testing autonomous cars.
That's interesting, switchable lanes. Seattle has that. You have red X's and green arrows.
Boomer Tech Radio.
Well, maybe it's Green X's.
Back
whatever.
With our weekly report from Alan Belongi after these messages.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster, and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Real people, real winners. Experience the thrill of yelling bingo and play at Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't miss our paper-only night every Monday. $200 drawing every session. Rock and roll bingo and $10,000 progressive bingo. At the end of the month, one lucky winner will win a Trinity House helicopter tour for three from Air Shasta Rotor and Wing in our Sights for Eyes drawing. Earn drawing tickets all month long. Receive three tickets on Triple Ticket Tuesdays. Don't miss our $500 midweek drawing every month. Ask about Bingo's Give Back promotion and special drawings every session. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. If you don't like to dob, let the machine do the work for you. Free sales available. Machines only, hands free. Who says you can't win them all? Play bingo with a Trinity Alps helicopter tour for three in our Sights for Eyes drawing. You only have to be 18 to play. Check out our bingo calendar and download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Bingo calendar subject to change. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair.
Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You know, people who listen to the podcast here on Boomer Tech Radio won't really care. But, of course, in radio, broadcast radio, the timing has to be down right to the second.
Right, because there's certain automatic things that happen and whatnot.
And
so
you have to finish on the hour because that's when the news comes.
Your
from
legal
the
ID yeah. and all sort of important things coming in. Otherwise, you get cut off.
Yes. So normally we do two segments, one 24 minutes and one 24 minutes minus 10 seconds for the legal ID. That's so we have time to play our commercials, which
pay the bills.
The bills, including the mentions you just heard for Advanced Automotive of Reading, a loyal supporter of this program since
yep.
day one, practically.
Almost day one, yep. Very, very early in the system.
So the long and short of it is we went long on the last segment by about 90 seconds. So we're sitting here. Here's one college graduated and one junior college graduated, reasonably intelligent people with smart devices, and we're rapidly punching buttons trying to figure out how much do we have to shorten the last segment because the previous segment went long.
Anyway. Well, to be fair, it's late in the day when we're doing this.
We get a little punchy this time of day. Oh, man. Let's see here. We actually hit. We got a little, you know, we kind of went off on a rabbit trail on this cloning thing, but wow. It's got some interesting implications.
Sure. You put that with AI and developing artificial intelligence and things like that, and it'll be interesting to see how that all gens up. You know, mm-hmm. Again, Star Trek may not have been far off the mark in some respects. Resistance is futile.
Exactly.
We are the Borg.
So another staple of science fiction.
Actually, they say we are the Borg. Resistance is futile, but whatever.
Another staple of science fiction. Of course, Pacific Rim 2 apparently has hit the main theaters and has already gone to the cheap seats.
Oh, that's not a good sign. That means that it's not a very good movie. But
however, a lot of movies that fail at the box office are great on streaming.
Yeah, do better in streaming. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, except seeing something like Pacific Rim on the big screen.
Yeah.
It's got to be cool.
Our 60-inch isn't going to be enough.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, better than the little, I think, what did I have, a big whopping 22-inch or whatever it was, television at one time, and I thought that was just styling.
Yeah. But a big staple of science fiction, especially Japanese science fiction, anime, has been the giant robot. And, of course, I played the game MechWarrior years ago. And the whole idea was rather than a robot. See, the trouble is, even our best cybernetic system, you saw the video of Atlas the robot, right? It's not like he can.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, remember the famous scene in RoboCop with the
ED-209
trying to climb it? He falls down a set of stairs.
Yes.
Yeah. So
like,
the whole
idea. Fail!
Yeah, the idea of RoboCop was you had a human brain. That could calculate all the things
right.
needed in order to operate the robotic body. That was the idea behind RoboCop.
Thunk.
Well,
thunk.
the mecha, or Japanese giant robot, is the same idea. You have an operator, a human operator, just like in Pacific Rim. Although in Japanese animation, for some reason, teenage schoolgirls in short skirts tend to be very good robot operators. I'm not sure how they...
There's a cultural mystery there for us. Whatever works, right?
Companies and individuals are working on their interpretations of giant robots. The latest and most impressive of these comes from a Japanese engineer named Masaki Nagumo. Boy, he has created a massive moving machine. Reuters is reporting that Nagumo's favorite show growing up was the Mobile Suit Gundam TV series that started in 1979. I have a jacket that's older than that. He drew inspiration from the anime when creating Mononofu.
Mononofu.
Yeah, Mononofu.
a 28-foot-tall, 7-ton machine was developed at a company that primarily makes farm machinery, but they also have been making giant robots for over a decade.
Now, here's the amusing part to me, is that Mononofu, the robot, can walk around forward and backwards anyway. His speed is limited to a whopping 0.6 miles per hour. It does pack around an impressive air gun, so that can fire
a big Nerf gun.
87-mile-an-hour sponge balls. It can move its fingers and twist its upper body, but the biggest problem it faces is that it's too big to go through the factory's entrance, so it has to be dismantled in order to get it outside of the factory.
So why don't we see these things walking down our streets? And the reason, of course, is power. Remember the movie Avatar? They had the exoskeleton combat suits.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie with Tom Cruise, the Tomorrow, the one where he keeps coming back over and over, kind of a Groundhog Day type thing. But they had these what they called jackets that were powered battle suits.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, who can forget Sigourney Weaver in Aliens, when she puts on when she climbs into the
mining equipment.
It's a cargo load. It's basically a forklift with legs,
right.
And she beats up on the alien queen. All of these things look really cool. Why do we not have them? Because we don't have anything to power them with.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, right?
What you didn't see in the movie Aliens was the bundle of electrical and hydraulic cables to external power equipment to make the parts of the machine move that were in the camera. And yet, you believed it. When she steps out, get out away from her, you blank, you know. And, of course, ED-209, the enforcement droid robot, which was a robot, but there's a mobile version that you can sit inside of from this company. They take them to kids' parties because kids love giant robots.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like modern-day dinosaurs. How cool is that?
Mm.
Well, a modern-day version of the attraction of the dinosaurs have, if that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on these companies, maybe doing a big rock'em sock'em robots, not mm-hmm. unlike a real live Pacific Rim giant robot type of thing. And it's just so interesting that the entertainment industry, to me, that the entertainment industry is kind of driving some of this, perhaps. When you look at it, is like, what if you could really build one of those things? And who knows? They may serve a purpose at some point. Mm-hmm. Imagine building a bridge or something like that where you have this megalifter, the forklift that you wear, and that enhances the movements of the human body and gives it strength that it wouldn't have otherwise.
The Army is very interested in mm-hmm. this, in something like this. Warehouse companies are looking for a highly maneuverable human forklift type of device,
right.
Even that can, it's a powered exoskeleton, but again,
right.
how to keep
how
it
do
energized.
You power it? Yeah. That'll come with time.
In the weeks since Mr. Zuckerberg went to Washington and got beat up all over, Facebook has announced it's going to stop opposing a California ballot measure designed to protect the privacy of the state's citizen. The California Consumer Privacy Act would force companies to be more open about the types of data they store about folks. Google, Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon, of course, opposed the measure. The social network has said it's going to step back out of the fight since they were already being grilled like a cheese sandwich in Washington, D.C. But Alan, as Alan pointed out, we have lawmakers who probably never picked up a smartphone in their lives. You have guys in their 80s.
Are clueless.
And these are intelligent individuals, but
right.
they are out of their element.
Right. They don't have a, for lack of a better word, relationship with these devices, and so they don't have a good sense of the context of some of these things. And what would work or not work, what makes sense, doesn't make sense. They don't really understand how it fits into daily life in that capacity. it is interesting, on a side note, California has some of the strongest consumer protection laws in the country. And that in itself, this kind of fits in with that, which can be both good and bad. And also banking, for instance, if you have a checking account in California, that checking account in a bank is subject to California law, including consumer protection laws. And even though you might live in another state, the way banking is now, the origin of your banking account is going to be the laws, the state mm-hmm. that it was started in is going to be subject to the laws in that state. So this is just another California layer to consumer protection, which could be good or bad. And I can understand why these companies don't want it to happen, because it cuts their revenue stream. So, you know, if they can't gather data on you and resell it, which is what it's all about, then they're going to be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. The original emoji was a colon and a parenthesis. Turned on its side, it looked like a smiley face.
Right.
The original smile. And the reason for that was to indicate if you were saying something humorous that might not be taken as humorous, the smiley face was sort of your forgiveness.
Well, it was the indicate the sarcasm or
exactly.
the irony or the whatever, the facetiousness of mm-hmm. it. To the extent that if you type a colon and right paren, now it turns it into a smiley face. Yeah, the software out there does that.
One thing I have noticed, though, because on Skype, on texting and things like that, I occasionally will use an emoji. Now, there is a generation that has eschewed words in favor of whole messages being done in nothing but emojis, that's like a secret handshake code.
I'm not real fond of that.
But I have discovered lately that the number of emojis has grown to the point where I just wanted to... Now, the traditional emoji for a heart in text is a left-pointing carrot, which is the V turned on its side, plus the number 3. So it resembles a heart on its side.
Sure.
And some will automatically do that. I wanted to use that emoji, and I had to scroll down
to find it.
Now, these are all generated through what's called a Unicode, and when you're texting, but services such as Twitter, they have their own library of emojis, all of them slightly different.
Right.
It's interesting the political effects that social media has, and vice versa. For instance, Twitter has updated their emoji library.
To me, emojis should indicate some sort of expression, mm-hmm. you know, or either emotional additive to that or a facial expression like rolling your eyes. You know, you say something and you put the little emoji in there where you're rolling your eyes, or it's like, this is crazy, whatever, and it's the one with the wonky eyes. Mm-hmm. But emojis have now extended into objects and mm-hmm. things like the slice of pizza or the mug of beer or...
For a while, there was a popular emoji that was a pistol. Well, in the wake of some violent incidents, the pistol is gone and has been replaced with a squirt gun.
Which still looks like a gun.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
But it's green, and it has obviously a little tube. They've done everything to make it look like anything except an actual firearm. But we are living in a time when kids have been removed from school for doing the finger-thumb thing.
It looks like a ray gun.
Yeah.
Put the science fiction spin on it.
Yeah. Apple has pushed to have a rifle emoji removed.
Are they going to take all the knives out of there?
Yeah.
I think there's been a few knives for, like, cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A company from Twitter said the change was made for consistency and it wasn't really a political thing. However, this is their own political statements. Of course, Twitter has fallen under a lot of criticism for allowing some pretty nasty stuff to be said on their platform with no repercussions.
I thought that stuff was supposed to be somewhat screened. I guess it isn't screened. It's because it's instant, so mm-hmm. they don't have an opportunity to vet it. Like if you write a review on Yelp, for instance, it doesn't get posted immediately.
Somebody checks it.
Yeah, there's
a computer algorithm
checks it looking for particular things.
Same with any posting to Facebook or anything like that. It goes through a filtering. We have a chat system called Chat and Go, which was originally developed for gamers. And what's interesting, it will screen certain words. Like I typed in the sentence, the crack of dawn. Pretty innocuous, right? But because crack could also be a drug,
right,
it censored the word.
Interesting.
And replaced it with a star.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? But somebody who had never heard the phrase, the crack of dawn, said, oh, crack, you're talking about drugs.
Yep.
And so we're... See, one of these things about Orwell's 1984 was that we were shrinking the pool of available words. We were shrinking the vocabulary. And this was Orwell in the 1930s, that by shrinking the vocabulary, you shrank the number of dangerous ideas.
Yep.
And you became closer and closer. It was called Newspeak. And Newspeak was a unified set of language that meant everybody thought this was the book that brought us Big Brother and the surveillance state in the 1930s. Think about that.
Interesting. That was even, of course, before World War II.
Yeah.
Certainly well before what we've got going on now.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous thing in some ways, but...
Who defines what is acceptable?
Yep, that's true. That kind of concept extended to a discussion we got into at work the other day about how the use of a T-shirt in one of our units, somebody said that's bullying those individuals by forcing them to wear this T-shirt, which didn't have anything risque on it or anything like that. And when, in fact, the folks that were wearing the T-shirts saw it completely differently, that they were proud to wear those T-shirts that identified them as part of that unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so two different perspectives on
exactly
what that is. So this is the same thing, in exactly an extension of what you're saying. Who decides whether something is bad or good?
Right.
Offensive or not.
And we have reached a point where everybody will be offended by something.
Well, I think that's always been the case, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of interesting, yeah. And I caught myself the other day. I saw a T-shirt that said Quickie IPA on it, which is obviously the name of a microbrewery's particular batch of IPA.
Yeah.
You could take that many different ways.
Yeah.
Was it, did it have a sexual connotation or did it have a production connotation? You know, maybe it's tasty, but it doesn't take long to make
it. Something that tastes so good, you'll drink it in a hurry.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. Where do you draw the line with these things? One person might think of it one way, another thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting things about the digital world we're in, too, is that things can spread so quickly.
We have reported, of course, that in previous announcements that the sales of physical media are on the rise again.
Yes.
And that actual downloaded content is diminishing. Now, that's not because people have stopped listening to digital music.
Not far from it.
A lot of people are listening to streaming audio and not having a copy on their drive or in a physical form.
Right.
But at the same time, just in the last couple of years, nostalgia buffs and people who have discovered a quality of sound are reaching back for vinyl. And suddenly classic vinyl albums are extremely valuable. I've got several record albums in my collection sitting at my house, and I haven't played any of them lately. But what I recommend to people is, say you found a played copy of a classic album that's been on the turntable a couple of times. And there's places around here where you can still buy vinyl, by the way.
Yep. Online, too.
What I tell people is to make an extremely high-quality, don't do an MP3, but do an extremely high-quality digital version of it, and then play that. And, of course, flash drives are now so large that you can do a high-bandwidth WAV file.
Right.
That preserves a lot of the fidelity. MP3s, you see, crush music.
Right. They take bits of it out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear the whole thing.
So what's making a comeback is high-definition vinyl.
Which is sort of blending modern technology with old-style vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I'd like to hear some of this stuff because it sounds kind of interesting. It may provide the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Back in the day, when you wanted to make a record, you took your master tape and you used that
to actuate a stylus, which was run by motors, to cut grooves in the master disc,
right,
which then was used to make a stamper.
Right.
And then the stamper was used to pop out copies of soft vinyl, of molten vinyl, that would harden up as you stamp them. There used to be millions of record stampers around. Now we're down to just a few. And actually, some have been put back into service. But this high-definition records will actually use a laser-based system to cut the grooves into the master, so they will have a higher definition and more dynamic range. Probably take a special type of player to play them back. But here's the thing.
Probably use a laser to play back, so instead of the traditional phonograph needle.
But there was on the market for a time a laser-based record player that would scan the grooves and turn that information into audio information. Now, here's the thing. When we launched Voyager 1, on the side of the spacecraft was a metal gold record with instructions on how to build a playback machine, because that was determined to be the most durable and easily translated out method of sending sound into space. Carl Sagan took part in selecting what went on that record.
What's cool about this new version of vinyl, though, is that you can get a lot more on one side of the record, because you can narrow up the grooves on, I'm assuming using the laser technology, narrow up the groove distance so that you can get up to 40% more information on one of those discs. What's interesting is it's going to see with the new stuff is, does a vinyl record stay the same size as the old style LPs that...
Well, the 12-inch LP is a handy size.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, why? Where does that come from? There's some history right there.
Yeah. Well, back in, there was a day when 16-inch transcription records were a big thing. But 12 inches is big enough to hold about an hour, about half an hour on each side.
Right.
So an hour total using the technology
at
the
time.
Day. Yeah. And
yeah.
It's big enough that you can handle it, and small enough it will hold around. So anyway, that is all the time we have for this week on Boomer Tech Radio. It is Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, wherever you do, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles, and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard, because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.